May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1093. How welcome to the tempest tossed amidst the storm's career, while horror spreads from coast to coast, is some kind haven near. 1093.
Chapter 10, Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Above when he said, Sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace? For we know him that hath said, Vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock both by reproaches and afflictions, partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. For ye had compassion of me in my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. May the Lord bless us a reading of his most holy word, and grant all needed help in prayer. O most kind, gracious, eternal, ever merciful Lord God Almighty, O do solemnize our hearts and minds now again at this evening hour. O prepare us and rightly fit us to approach unto thee, thou who art most holy. O may we be found even this evening hour amongst those with broken hearts and contrite spirits, which thou wilt not despise. O sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, but a broken heart and a contrite spirit thou wilt not despise. O may we be found amongst those, then we plead even this night. No, Lord, if there are those, that it is otherwise with them, that, and truly such were some of us, there might yet be that time when thou wilt put the mouth in the dust, and bring that one in as a guilty, sinful worm before thee, with nothing in their hands to bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress, foul I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, ere I die. And, O Lord, thou knowest then the hearts of each one. Thou seest us through and through. And, O Lord, there may be those also that have been those many years in the way. And, O, that eye of faith has become dim. Those clouds seem to cover the skies. Lord, there might be even this night that thou wouldst arise, or the Son of Righteousness might arise and shine with healing in his wings. Oh, that Son, that precious Son, oh, that dispels the gloom that breaks through those clouds, that puts a new song in the mouth, that there may yet be once again that rejoicing over what the Lord has done. Maybe yet by the blessed Spirit being our remembrance. And oh, what a mercy it is that there thou didst promise the Comforter. Oh, thou didst promise the Comforter unto thy people. And there, oh, have we not known the blessed Spirit, the Comforter, bringing to remembrance all those blessings and favours in time past, those promises, those words. Thou hast brought them again to our remembrance, and thou hast made all thy goodness pass before us in the way. O Lord, if there is then one so bowed down and cast down, and even this night, and there's we often feel it is so in a child of God. There are the seasons, as we see them in the in nature. There are the seasons, and there is that promise, concerning the seasons that we see upon the earth, that there shall be no fail and no as it were, a faltering of them. They shall ever take place, and it shall be so. And it is not so in a child of God, or in their experience. It is not always springtime and summer. Oftentimes it is autumn and winter. Those days of darkness and distress, are they not, according to thy word, they are our portion here below? And truly is it not so, according to thy word, through much tribulation we shall enter the kingdom? But our comfort is this, and we plead it even this night, that thou hast said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Thou hast said, lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Oh, even in those darksome paths, when we often think concerning Job. And oh, what a dark path was permitted unto him. For thou didst permit Satan to touch all that he had. Oh, what a path. And oh, what darksome paths we're brought into at times, what trials and tribulations are in the way. But are they not known unto thee? We believe they are. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. All our times are in thy hands, and all events are at thy command. Oh, dear Job, even there, that living faith laid hold of a precious Christ. That spark of living faith, where he could not perceive thee on his right hand or upon his left, behind or before. But there, living faith. He could say, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Oh, he knoweth the way that I take. when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And oh, is it not then a needs be for these times and seasons? Truly it is so. Oh Lord, is it not so when we're brought into those darksome paths? When we have known those times and seasons of light and light and comfort and hope and joy of the spring and the summer in our souls. Oh, does it not make us cry more earnestly unto thee? Does it not bring us with that language upon our lips, where is he whom my soul loveth? Does that inquiry of the watchman tell me whether thou hast seen him, tell me where? There's a longing to lay hold. And all that one that went about the city. Even inquiring under the watchman. From them passed but little. But there was an obtaining, there was a finding. Found him whom my soul loveth. Does it not then make those times and seasons most precious indeed? Do then remember such we plead. Draw near unto them, Lord, they may be confined to their own homes, may be in a hospital bed, may not be able to venture out to thy courts this night. But, O Lord, make the whole manifest thyself to them, Lord, we plead. Manifest thyself to them. Have they not been as those whom thou hast drawn, and they have run after thee? They're those that have felt in themselves black, but in thine eyes they are comely. Lord, do then remember such we plead. And truly is it not so that in even time it shall be light. But do arise, O Son of Righteousness, arise and shine with healing in thy wings. We can remember once when we journeyed forth one Sabbath day, feeling in such a darksome path, when we entered into the tunnel as we journeyed and came out the other side, as we journeyed upon the road there, we had to enter into that tunnel. And as we emerged from the other side, there the sun of thy creation shone upon the earth. There we felt also as that word was brought to our mind, such sweetness and power and light and life and liberty and joy once again in our very soul. And it is then by the Spirit, the blessed Spirit, taking the word and seeing it upon the heart of some poor sinner, some poor trembling worm of the earth. But, O Lord, remember us each then as we've gathered this night. Remember those then that are detained in their homes, perhaps with families, the care of young children. Lord, remember them. Favour them, O Lord. O Lord, thou art not confined to place or means or mode, and what a mercy it is. What a mercy it is. And thou art open even to make their place of their abode, that Bethel, unto them this night. Lord, remember then those in the midst of life. Once again, as we think upon them, those in the midst of life and the carking cares that if we're spared, we soon have to return to them again. Satisfy, O Lord, this night with thy goodness. O Lord, we've been drawn from the labours of the past days, or labouring for the meat which perisheth. But truly is it not so unto a child of God, the living soul? We cannot live by bread alone, but it is by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God doth man live. And O Lord, each one will have to return to those various labours, whatever it may be, whether it's in the home, in the workplace, in the business, in the school, in the university, wherever it may be. O Lord, grant those all sips from the well of salvation, a crumb that falls from the Master's table. Oh, if we receive a crumb, oh, we'll feel so unworthy that it'll be a feast unto us. But oh, that dear woman, oh, she felt no more than that dog under the Master's table. She acknowledged she was no more than that dog. But truth, Lord, we'll feel unworthy, that poor sinner, and may we each be brought to that place no more than the dog under the Master's table. Oh, that place, mouth in the dust. But oh, of a truth, Lord, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the Master's table. Oh, those crumbs. The crumb of mercy, Lord, I crave. I'm worthy to be fed with dainties such as angels have, and with the living bread, but all that crumb. A sip, O Lord, from the well of salvation. Lord, we believe we try to plead this morning, but always a one that has come up to the house of God even this night, feeling like Ruth. Like Ruth of old. Going up to glean. Longing, oh, longing for those, all those blessings which only thou canst give. Oh, may it please thee then that thou wouldst satisfy that one with those hands full of purpose this night, and may go home and beat them out. Might be yet one, O Lord, even this night here or elsewhere in Zion. One that feels bound like Lazarus when he was called forth from the tomb. Came forth with that, just that little measure of liberty. But all the commandment thou didst give, loose him and let him go. Oh, Lord, do then set the captives free. Oh, open the mouth of the dumb, that they may speak forth to thy praise. Maybe yet one wrought upon even this day, though to tell out to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found, and point to thy redeeming blood, and say, behold the way to God. But O Lord, the work is thine, and the power is thine. We are but a mere instrument in thy hands, and an empty earthen vessel. Oh, pour in that we may pour out. Oh, then, thy name shall have all the praise and the glory. For truly then we shall prove we have no treasure in an earthen vessel in of ourselves, but that treasure we have is of thee, that the excellence and the power may be of God, and not of ourselves. O Lord, do then favour us together. And O Lord, we would especially bear before thee any in affliction. Lord, a little one, Lord, remember that one, Lord, we know nothing really about them personally, but Lord, thou knowest. O Lord, do remember the parents. Remember them, Lord, we plead. Grant them strength sufficient for each day. Uphold them, Lord, we plead. Remember those, O Lord. Lord, there are those that are with child. Lord, remember them. Oh, may there be that a time of bringing forth and a time of praise. Lord, remember such we plead, but oh, any in affliction, any in a darksome path, and once again, thy dear aged servant we know of, oh, in that deep affliction. Lord, remember him, we plead, and favour him in his soul. Remember, Lord, those in the homes, those that used to gather in thy courts. Do remember them, Lord, we plead, and draw near unto them. And, O Lord, may it please you, thou hast made their last days their best days. O Lord, perhaps they feel the mud-walled cottage shake. They feel the weakness of mind and body. But, O Lord, what a mercy it is that those blessings and favours and promises which thou hast given can never be taken away. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Oh, they are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. But, O Lord, if there are those we've forgotten, Lord, remember them, Lord, we plead in all that concerns them, those various paths they are walking in. Lord, thou knowest each one's path, and where we then have failed in our asking and pleading this day, this morning and this evening. Oh, make it known unto them that thou art able to make up in giving where we fail. And, O Lord, thou knowest those that they're burdened in the pew even now. They cannot speak. But there's been the falling of a tear and the upward glancing of an eye. Oh, answer their petitions, Lord, we plead. But, oh, help us now. Lord, we need that help. Lord, help me. Lord, undertake for me. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And enable us to break the bread of life. We plead this night. We would then seek for the pardon of every sin. And all we've asked of me. Oh, our sins, but oh, we plead thy precious blood. We plead thy name, which is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. 759.
Thank you.
seeking once again the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, we'll go back to the verse we tried to speak from this morning in Psalm 138 and the 8th verse. Psalm 138, verse 8. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth for ever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. Those few verses we venture to read from Psalm 119, we'll refer back to those just for a moment from verse 33. As we sat down during the hymn just now, that perhaps there are those that feel they can't come very far. We were away above them or way ahead of them. Remembering back to my own time when, longing and seeking and hoping to find that portion for my soul. Oftentimes I felt, out of the way. Oftentimes I felt I knew nothing, heard others speak, desired to come into it, but all felt to be outside of the secret. Remember one of the Lord's servants we have much to do with and all. When oftentimes we were unable to speak, there wasn't much conversing from my part, as it were. Tongue was bound and, as it were, I felt bound. Like that, we read of Lazarus when he was called forth from the tomb. He came forth bound from his head to his feet. A measure of liberty, but no light or full liberty, but that measure of liberty. There's life to be seen, put it that way. Life to be seen, but I felt no more than that. At times I felt there was no life either. But trust I felt I could come in with Ruth. Thy God shall be my God. Thy people, my people. Felt I couldn't come any further than that. As I said, nothing to speak of. I heard one another speak, and my ear was drawn to their language. The language of the children of Israel. My ear was drawn to those that seemed as if they were unable to speak one to another concerning what the Lord had done for their souls. Couldn't enter into it. Couldn't join in with the conversation. Out of the secret. And so the tempter used to try and trouble. But all those verses we read in Psalm 119, is there then that living desire in your soul? Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. Give me understanding. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies. Establish thy word unto thy servant. As those longings, those prayerful desires, that's a breathing of a living soul. Perhaps you can't come in with the rest of the verses at times. I shall observe it with my whole heart. Or for therein do I delight. But that longing, that hungering and thirsting after Christ and his righteousness. Or did some of those petitions then, as we read them this morning, did they touch your heart or mine again? Perhaps in that way of stirring up. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation. Is there that desire then? Is there that longing? I believe I can say when, as I refer to that part of my path just now, there was that longing for these things. A longing for them to be made known unto me, divine reality, or something more than notion. Many years had a notion of religion, a head knowledge. I said this morning, brought to that place, had that stripped from me, began to rest upon those things of self. Self-righteousness and pride was, much in evidence. I told this morning, that there was that path of teaching in the path of affliction that the Lord revealed himself and brought me to that place of nothingness, emptiness and poverty. Something must be known and felt more than notion. And it must be so. How solemn will be with each one of us, or any of us, if we were brought down to the end of our days. We had no more than notion. It would be like that house built upon the sand in that last great storm. There'd be a great falling of that house. It's to rock Christ Jesus. Leave me to the rock. Is there that longing in your soul, even this night, this day, as you've come up to the house of God? Leave me to the rock. Leave me to the rock that is higher than I. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. It's a longing for that. What a mercy it is, so. What a mercy. If you've been quickened then into life, and there's that true hungering and thirsting, not satisfied with what you've felt within up till now, that form of godliness which hath no power, brought to see you are no more than a whited sepulchre all foul within, feeling that you're like those foolish virgins when that one came, and they were invited into the marriage feast, and all had no oil in their lamps. We can look the same on the outside. Myself, I felt it so. Myself, I felt I went a long way. With that outward appearance, form of godliness. But it hath no power. But oh, blessed be his holy name, it is by the Spirit quickening. Christ taking up that abode in a sinner's heart. Christ formed in their hearts the hope of glory. When by the Spirit it is so, there be those new and living desires. Oh, no satisfaction then in the law. Oh, we may have striven to keep the law. Oh, one may have spoken before, but oh, comes to mind again, and it bears out this which we try to speak. Oh, one and brought down to the end of his days. Well, it was my own dear father. Now that outward appearance, the outward walk, I could not find any fault in it. I walked in a most upright way. But all when brought down to the end of his days, or labouring under the law, brought to see that, oh, the soul that sinneth it shall die, brought to see that there he should have to stand before a holy, heart-searching God, a God that cannot look upon sin. And oh, my mind goes back to those times when we used to visit him in those last days of his life. No comfort, labouring under the law to fulfil it. And oh, if you'd seen him, he used to try me night after night as I went home, trying to speak those words of comfort, but it seems it was to no avail. But all labouring under the law, to fulfil the law, without the shedding of blood there can be no remission of sin. I would not repeat all those things, but all. How solemn it was. And it made no difference what this poor one tried to speak, and we tried to pray. Thought all that the law would yet break through. Blessed be his holy name. The law will perfect that which concerneth me. I believe it concerned my dear father then in those last days, but that longing for Christ to be revealed, nothing short would do. Nothing short of a precious Christ made known would do. Hell and eternity before him. Death, hell and eternity before him. Labouring under the law. Oh, that went on for weeks, weeks and weeks, and oh, what terrors there were. But the Lord appeared. The Lord made himself known. The Son of Righteousness did arise and shine with healing in his wings. Blessed be his holy name, but oh, rest not on anything short of Christ. Precious Christ revealed. That can only do this poor sinner good. And oh, as I said, many weeks went by, as those cryings under the law from this poor one concerning one's father, and I believe that many cries went up, and all, that groaning being burdened in his own soul, but oh, he saw nothing more than the righteous law of God and the wrath of God under the thunderings of Mount Sinai. I believe in those last days, oh, as he was so wrought upon, I went in to see, this a few years ago now, but I went in to see him. I thought there was a change wrought, and before I came to go, there he spake, said, I must speak before you go. Oh, he spake of a precious Christ, spake of the pardon of his sins, spake of that one that had done all things well, spake of that one that, oh, as we read in Hebrews, that one that had consecrated that new and living way. The veil in the temple, oh, the veil was rent from the top to the bottom when the dear Lord bowed his head and gave up the ghost. I believe he saw and then felt his interest in that precious blood, that sin atoning blood, that one great sacrifice for sin, that which was all satisfied in that day, the law of God. Well, the dear Son of God, having all condescended to come down to this earth, having laid his glory by, that one that was made under the law to satisfy the law, but made like unto his brethren, the body and nature like unto our own, but without sin, but all made sin for us. I believe he saw this one that was made sin for him. Oh, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. Above, when he said, sacrifice and offering, and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not. Oh, my dear Father, those things which, he tried to do in those days under that wrath of God, the felt wrath of God, labouring under the law. There's no, Almighty God had no pleasure in them. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Believe he saw there this. As we read it there, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now one that now sitteth on the right hand of the Father, interceding for his people with those groanings which cannot be uttered. That covenant, that new covenant of grace, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, not on tables of stone. There will be that delight to do his, to walk in his ways, to do his commands. It will not be through the thunderings of Mount Sinai or those laws written in tables of stone. It will be in that plays of affections on the flesh, he tells of their hearts, these laws are written. I'll put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. This and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Oh, what a mercy. What a mercy. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. My dear Father, then, oh, he rejoiced. Oh, there was that rejoicing in his heart. No more of those labourings under the law, and oh, how painful they were to see. For there was no peace in them. But when brought to a knowledge, oh, of a precious Christ revealed in his own heart by the Spirit, then there was that peace of God which passeth all understanding. My mind went, is it not like this? And concerning the child of God, my dear Simeon, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. There's a waiting. Oh, my dear Father, it's been those 80-something years walking upon the earth. But oh, there, I believe in the last 6 months of his life, it was made known. There was a performance of those things appointed for him. The Lord did not forsake the works of his own hands. Dear Simeon, is it not like this concerning a child of God? And that need. Dear Simeon, we read here, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Oh, that consolation. Is it not Christ revealed, made known? Oh, what other consolation do we need this side of eternity? When sin lays heavy upon us. And oh, my Father spoke of some of those sins which I never knew of. But he brought to confess them, albeit in that way to me, but I believe he confessed them to Almighty God. But oh, that consolation he waited for, that consolation of Israel, that which is of the whole Israel, God, those whom he have loved eternally, that of this Israel. And they all, is there waiting them, one another, even this day, waiting for that consolation, longing for that to be made known unto them, unto you, waiting for that consolation. Simeon waited. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Oh, what a favour he had there. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Oh, what a favour. Not see death. My father didn't see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. I believe each one of the Lord's people, the Lord is sovereign in how he deals with each. Some, it is in their childhood or youth. Some, it is not until, thief upon the cross, he saw this, he saw his consolation also. He saw his salvation. In that latter hour of his life. Oh, This man hath done nothing amiss. There he is brought to feel and need his need as a sinner. We indeed justly suffer for our sins, but this man hath done nothing amiss. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Waiting, he had the consolation. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost. This is, we'll go back to Simeon here, but the thief upon the cross, but each one of the Lord's people. Blessed be his holy name. Oh, that consolation. That interest. Longing to know it. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Oh, the leadings of the Spirit. Blessed Spirit of truth, the comforter. Oh, as we often quote those lines, Spirit of truth, come down. Reveal to me the things of God. Make to me salvation known and witness with the blood. That consolation. My God, my Father, blissful name is at your desire also. My God, my Father, blissful name. Oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Longing for that consolation. Oh, dear Simeon here. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. All that consolation. So say, concerning my dear Father, that consolation, I believe then he could, quite willing to gather up his feet into his bed and, wait for that time. Then took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace. According to thy word, for mine eyes, the eye of faith, held in the arms of faith, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Saw there his eternal safety, the pardon of his sins, saw there that which was to come with the eye of faith. It was revealed to him there. What this dear babe that he held in his arms should yet suffer. He should yet suffer, bleed and die. In his room, place instead, the consolation of Israel. Depart in peace. Now lettest thy servant depart in peace. According to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. Oh, may we not be found resting upon anything short of this Christ. May we not be found like the foolish virgins having no oil in our lamps. All those that had that oil in their lamps, were they not those? Had seen their, that waited for that consolation, that had that consolation. There was that hope in his mercy. There's that good hope through grace raised up in them. That good hope through grace. Let thy mercies come also unto me. Order then that desire in your soul and mine, all may it ever be in our very soul, in our heart. Oftentimes we need that stirring up again and again to bring us once again to his feet, but all, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. Oh, him that reproacheth me. Oh, those reproaches of the adversary, the old man of sin within. Oh, when the Lord by the blessed Spirit is pleased to make his goodness pass before you in the way again, that consolation, a remembrance of those things. Oh, there's a one in him this night. Oh, there's a longing for a remembrance of those things. Many years ago, perhaps, passed since that day. Longing for that consolation. Longing once again for these things to be made known and revealed and all made sweet to the taste. The consolation of Israel. The Lord will perfect it. The word will be tried. Word of the Lord will be, oh, if it's that word which you're resting on, resting upon that which is your hope, those words will be tried. This very word was tried, and oh, you speak these things, and maybe it's for comfort of one or another. But oh, sometimes we lose sight of those words. Remember once, and oh, the time has nearly gone, but oh, before I must speak in this way, as this also concerns this word in my own path, that there all my hope was founded upon this word. This being the rock upon which my hope was built, the Lord himself, that which the Lord will perfect, and that work of his own hands. I remember one day, oh, a little while ago now, a few years ago, I went to meet someone down at the little Cause of Truth, that little place at Stone, some of you know it. I had to meet someone there concerning the building. Oh, what a day it was. It was a cold, wet and dark day. I waited and waited, and while waiting I took the little Bible out I have in the van, and there I felt I'll look up that word upon which my hope was built, upon which there was a foundation of it, I believe, the beginning of that work. I couldn't find it. I couldn't seem to remember what psalm or what verse it was in the Psalms. So I turned from one end to the other and back again. Started in the middle, as it were, and went each way, thinking it must be somewhere where I thought it should be, and no. I looked at every psalm and it was not there. And oh, the adversary, oh, what a foe he came in, seeking to overthrow that foundation. That which I truly felt endureth forever, and the work of the Lord, and nothing can overthrow the works of the Lord or bring it to naught. But so it seemed the adversary was going to try. I couldn't find it, and there the adversary came and oh, so said in my heart, there's no hope all your hope is gone. Those things, since that time, there's nothing to it. There's nothing to your exercises or whatever has taken place since that time. All your hope is gone. You're deceived. It was as if the word, that verse, had been taken out of the Word of God, so it seemed. And oh, I felt ready to faint and die in the way. Felt like the moth, all crushed before the light. Adversary at the right hand, oh, what a foe it was, oh, the blast of the storm, he won against the wall. All my hope was gone. There I cried unto the Lord, Lord, if it is thy work, oh, if it is thy work, reveal it unto me. Show me the verse. The adversary is saying, there's no verse there, it is not there. Oh, that crying unto the Lord, oh, show me that verse. As I, oh, opened the Word of God again, as I, oh, cried unto the Lord, Lord being, oh, that comforter, for the Blessed Spirit to bring it to pass, if it was of the Lord. And oh, I glanced down, and there was the Word, the very verse right in front of my eyes, the Word of the Lord, it will be a tried word. I believe all since that day, it's become that very rock upon which my hope is built, upon which my that work of grace is built for me. But all, it will be tried. And that work and that word will be tried in each one of the Lord's people. The adversary will see to that. He will not leave that one. But it's a perfect work, and if it's the work of the Lord, he will not forsake it. My mind was upon these, and I feel I have to quote them before we close. They came to mind earlier in the day, and I feel we must close with these words. For is it not upon this one whom Moses was enabled to sing in this way, that our hope is, and our strength and our help is, and that continuance. We read in that the end of the 33rd chapter of Deuteronomy, there is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. Oh, those everlasting arms. What a mercy I felt, those everlasting arms that day. And the eternal God being my refuge. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel. Who is a God like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. And who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars under thee. And thou shalt tread upon their high places. But all that enemy we found a liar under thee. Oh, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Endureth forever. You'll prove the adversary a liar. for he will not forsake the work of his own hands, for he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £785, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, there'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett, and Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Raymond Woodhams next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 143. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. 143.
which we've tried to speak this evening, hour. Oh, may it please thee, thou hast truly owned and blessed that which is of thee. O Lord, seal it upon the heart of one or another. For it is by the blessed Spirit that it will only do a poor sinner any good, making unto them the voice of the Lord. One or another may, go home and say, I've heard his voice. Oh, I've heard his voice. Oh, may it please thee then, O Lord, to truly bless that which is of thee, own and bless it. May thy name have all the praise. For all glory and honour is thine. And cover the mantle of thy forgiving love over all thou hast seen or heard amiss. Oh, pardon and forgive it, Lord, we plead. And oh, now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each now and forevermore. Amen.